Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Welcome to the call, everyone. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to host the More Heart Than Talent Mindset call for the regulars that consistently attend the call. Thank you for attending this call. I've watched over the years that we don't have the numbers on Tuesday like we used to. We have the numbers on the downloads the next day. Our download numbers are phenomenal the following day. So feel free to promote the download available on Pod-O-Matic. And for those listening for you tonight, I know you have many options and team calls and other opportunities. I want to thank you, the loyal followers and friends who continue to tune in to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. I will cover a few announcements and then I will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. 2 weeks from tonight, 1 week from tonight, my guest will be Brittany Cara. Brittany is an exceptional woman who I've had the privilege of coaching and also have shared the stage with her on several occasions in Southern California. Brittany brings very unique content. She's the author of the highly inspiring book, The Silent Killer, a book on the food industry, and is an advocate in many, many ways and someone that you definitely are going to be inspired to listen to. She's an exceptional brander with a following in the hundreds of thousands of people and very skilled at bringing great content to the call. Brittany was a guest on my call last year. She's also a featured speaker at the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop that I host twice a year for my advanced students who are my coaching clients who attend Breakthroughs to Success and want to take their internet branding, marketing, speaking, and writing skills, TNL, to the next level. The next Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop is May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Breakthroughs to Success, Jeremy in North Dakota will be attending in February. That is traditionally a great event, as all of them. It is the first Breakthroughs to Success of 2018. If you've not attended a Breakthroughs to Success, it is a companion product to the coaching product that I've been offering for the last 21 years. So Breakthroughs to Success is February, June, September, and December. And if you hire me to be your coach, it is a companion product but also could serve as a standalone product for my coaching clients only. And to say it's a game changer or would have to be experienced would be an understatement because of the delivery of the content and the group of entrepreneurs that converge to those events 4 times a year. This Saturday, I will be in Chicago, Illinois. For the first time in 2 years, I'm looking forward to that. I used to speak in Chicago as many as 8 times a year. I'll be speaking there at least 2 times this year. February 10th, I'll be in Orange County, California. I want to thank Marisa Campbell, who is hosting that event for me. Marisa is a first-class entrepreneur and human being, as well as her husband, Doug. Look forward to connecting with him. Orlando, Florida, Susan Dampier and Colleen Olitsky, two rock star online marketers and direct sales superstars, will be hosting me. March 3rd, first time ever, Diane Hunt will be hosting me in Saddlebrook, New Jersey. Now, Diane has attended many, many of my events, so looking forward to Diane hosting her first event with me. Baltimore, Maryland, the back door of Matt Smith. Matt has been a longtime client of mine. Marion Snyder is going to be my host at that event. March 17th, my own hometown, had the privilege of having Frank Pecoraro and Joe DiBianca, two of my Pisons, attend Kansas City, Missouri with me this last fall. So anyone that wants to come to my hometown, one of my hometowns, that is a fabulous event. Kansas City is a beautiful, large metropolitan city. If you've never been there, first-class city, great restaurant, the home of KC Barbecue, along with many, many great Italian restaurants. One of my all-time favorite cities, March 24th, is my good friend Joe DiBianca, who's my number one protege coaching client, along with Basha, who I heard ring in here tonight. Joe will be hosting the Philadelphia event March 24th, and you can find me Friday night at Dante and Luigi's. March 31st, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I just put on the map April 7th, Salt Lake City, Utah. Another great city. If you've never been to Salt Lake, another place to come see my event. April 14th, Rye, New York. Love that. Love the back. I love Rye, New York as well. Have a lot of great content to deliver with for you this year. I'm right now in the process of putting on the finishing touches to the Breakthrough Factor. I've been in studio for 6 hours. I have 2 more hours to complete that product. I will have that the content recorded next week. That is the equivalent of an 8 CD or the old days, 8 cassette audio program. It'll be the equivalent of about 6 hours of audio downloads, the Breakthrough Factor. I'll be breaking down cause and effect, why we do what we do, addiction tolerance, how to let go, and many, many other great, insightful content that will allow you to break through on command. And with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I love doing these calls. Over 21 years that I've been hosting this call, and tonight's content is going to be, I'm going to be covering developing a winning mindset. Very apropos, because right around the corner is the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl obviously pits David versus Goliath. And both of those teams go into that game. America's spectacle sporting event has the largest viewership of any event in the history of television. Every year they break records. Well, it's pageantry. It's showtime. It's the show. It's Super Bowl. It's the big daddy. It's the granddaddy of them all. It's the Super Bowl. And if you're playing in that game, you better bring a winning attitude to the table. My call tonight is devoted to developing a winning mindset. Now, winning is also synonymous with finishing, closing, completion, being able to create a result. It's being able to decide and commit. They're all synonymous with the same thing, the outcome. You focus on the outcome that's favorable. You don't focus on the situation you seek to avoid. Unfortunately, and I cover this in great detail in the Breakthrough Factor, a large percent of society focuses on what they don't want to have happen. And by focusing on what you don't want to have happen, you attract your reality, the very situation you seek to avoid, because emotions give off a neurochemical response, and when you are giving off an emotion and anxiety, you're creating a corresponding response to create the bounce back effect. And that bounce back effect is you end up avoiding to not fail, but you fail by avoiding, and then you're disappointed. And that's a large percent of society lives in that overwhelmed, underachieving state. Now, if you seek tonight, right now, to change the direction of the year 2018, if you set big goals on December 31st or January 1st, and already the end of the month is rolling around, you haven't closed any sales, you have pennies in your pocket, zero in the bank account, creditors could be calling, and you find yourself with a lot of liability debt, then be attentive to the content tonight, because this will assist you to develop that edge. If you're going to be a winner, You'd have to let go of listening to your own whining. If you're going to be a winner, you have to let go of some of your anxiety that keeps you avoiding success. You have to be able to step into responsibility, the ability to respond. Responsibility is a reflex, and in that reflex, you have to be able to let go of the gap and delay that keeps you checked out. Now, if you're an athlete, you have to be consciously aware. If you're not, you can embarrass yourself in a big game. You can look bad. You can cost your team a victory because you check out, get overwhelmed. And in sporting events, you can't win them all, but you want to have your share of victories. In business, you're not going to win them all, but you have to have your share of victories as well, because you have a business for profit. You cannot continue to operate from the confines of your apartment, your home, your basement, your bedroom, your boardroom, and not create profit. You can only operate in debt so long. You have to have a for-profit business from the comfort of your home or your office. And to be able to do that, you require the skills, habits, and mindset of a winning team, of a winner, of the CEO of your own corporation, of someone who's commitment conscious, someone who can finish and decide. And unfortunately, a large percent of society does not make their bed. They start off their morning avoiding the very situation that they should be accomplishing. And the way you do one situation will show up in other ways. I believe it's too black and white to say the way you do one thing is the way you do everything, but it will show up frequently. But if you rebel against your own success because you're rebellious, well, it's not that sexy. I mean, if you have to wait till the last minute to overcome yourself, then all you're going to do is exhaust yourself. I assisted someone recently to understand why they wait till the last minute. It's a way for many people to prove that they are good enough. Now, if you've been violated, physically abused, or any multitude of situations that robbed you of your innocence, and you lived in a not good enough mindset, there's a high probability you will wait till the last minute to do situations because it gives you a neurochemical high and it proves to yourself that you can pull it off despite your own circumstances. And that's what many people do. They create their own force. They create their own circumstance, and then they pull it off at the last minute, and then they get the praise and the recognition that says, wow, this is really good, and you're sitting there in your own body saying, but I did it at the very last minute. And if you're one of these last-minute type of performers, it's not going to be conducive to long-term success. You don't want to pull it off at the last minute. You want to win the game throughout the game. You want to methodically, systematically wear out your opponent. You don't want to be put in the position that the clock is running out and you have to pull off a Hail Mary or you got to pull it out of your ass or pull it off at the very last second. You want to methodically, systematically win daily, not at the last minute. Now, if you operate in this last-minute situation, be honest with yourself. Take a good look at why you do what you do. Step into the power and let go of the cause that creates the effect. Understand the events that shape the feelings of this last-minute type of mindset. And you want to have a mindset that's systematic, organized, detailed, and you want to routinely create your victories. You deserve to create your share of victories. Now, with me, there is never a day go by that I don't average at least a sale a day. Now, I may not close a sale every day, but that means I'm going to close two or three sales on many days, and that will make up for the one or two days that a sale doesn't happen. But I'm in action all of the time. And this is a misnomer because many people go, wow, all you do is work. That's not correct. I own a business. I produce results from the comfort of my home for my for-profit business. I devote time to my craft, systematically honing the skills, learning the inner game of winning, the psychology of winning. In the late 70s, the great Dennis Waitley wrote a book called The Psychology of Winning. I had it the year it came out. It's been highlighted a few hundred times. Winners win because winners win. Winners win because they have an edge. Winners watch their opponents. Winners study their opponents. Winners study film. Winners consistently hone their edge. And if you're in sales, branding, marketing, internet marketing, or you're writing content, you own a network marketing business, you're in real estate, the mortgage industry, you're selling cars, any multitude of situations, your objective is to be your best, not the best. You focus on your best. That means you practice on the fundamentals. You ask the questions over and over in a sequence. Your ability to hear and listen becomes acute. You become an exceptional listener. The word exceptional flows out of your mouth frequently because you have exceptional habits. You have an exceptional mindset. You're developing exceptional skills so you can create spontaneous excellence. Excellence on command. That comes from the repetition and the experience over and over. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. Selling is about being able to present the value, delivering the service, asking the questions to find out if you have a qualified buyer. You set the sale by the way you ask the questions. You set up the sale. You set the prospect up. Your prospect is your opponent until they're your customer, your client, or your teammate. You're competing against your prospect. They have your money. They also have challenges making decisions. They have challenges making decisions not because of the value, because they're commitment phobic. And the more you understand why people do what they do, then you will learn to compete in a very relaxed body. You compete with yourself to be your best. But your self-talk has to be competitive. But if you're anxious and you tell yourself stories about not wanting to offend someone, not wanting to make a mistake, not wanting to get in trouble, you've lost before you started because your opponent, your adversary, is the other team. Now, understand, this is all in the spirit of good fun and the spirit of the psychology of winning. Your objective is not to put nails in the coffin of your prospects. You're not going for the jugular and you're not going for the throat. You understand that every conversation you have is an opportunity for you to improve your skills. You cannot muscle your way to success. You cannot overpower a prospect. You cannot engage a prospect in unresolved anger. I've seen people who they think they have good energy, and they some of it is, but they're so they have so much unresolved anger that their anger is very it's very unattractive, and that anger is not going to get you to the land of promise. You have to have finesse and power, and that means that if you're very weak and you're very codependent, well, that also is not going to be sexy to your opponent. And your opponent can unequivocally become your teammate. They can be your ally. But until that has happened, you have to be able to compete with your opponent, and that's competitive. But if you're not competitive, you're not going to make it. And what that means is that you should have a numbers board in your whiteboard. You should be chalking up your victories daily. You should have a full-scale atmosphere of what's going on in your business daily, weekly, and monthly. You should have a 30-day game plan. I don't even suggest a 90-day game plan at this point for most of you. Focus on February. Finish this month strong. The month isn't ended. You should be focused on the entire month of February and closing this month strong. Tomorrow is the 31st. You can close a sale tonight. You close because you're a closer. You close because you're competitive. You close because you require the repetition and experience of the game time action of being great at your vocation. You ask the questions in a sequence, and many people, what questions? What questions? How do I? It's not a how do I, it's an I am state. I am learning the skills of my vocation. You have to listen for the buy signals. You listen for what is meant along with what is said. You're able to understand whether I have a qualified buyer. This is someone who's not going to be able to decide. This is someone who's going to tell me they're going to get back with me. You require the reflexes to ask the questions when you receive an objection. Yeah, Y-E-A-H, yeah, I'll get back to you. Your reflexes would say, you'd use their first name, John, when will you be getting back to me? You have to let go of your anxiety about being bold, being pushy. All these stories and drunkologues that you tell yourself to avoid being successful. I played very competitive high school sports, so when someone would push my shoulder pad and tell me and get in my grill and put their face mask on my face mask, I'm like, bring it on, chief. When I was playing on the hardwood in high school and college and someone throws an elbow, pushes me, that's all part of the competition of the game. When someone would talk smack to me, it was like, bring it on. That's all part of it. I'll never forget I took on this superstar that I played junior college basketball. My first year we were 3-24. My second year we won 20 games because our coach recruited this gentleman from Elgin, Illinois named Butch Douglas. Butch got a full ride to University of Southern Utah, and he completely changed our whole program that year. He came in and averaged 27 points a game. My very first practice, he pushed me. I was small, and he called me small. And he split my lip with his elbow. And he said, you want a piece of me? Not really, because the dude was 6'3", about 220. But I stood up to him and pushed him back. And he called me what I was, a small white dude. But he respected me. By the end of the year, I had his respect because I was scrappy. And you have to be able to have that scrappiness in your edge. You have to find your edge, and you have to be able to stand the gap, and you have to be able to master your emotions to stay in the game long enough to master winning. That also means you address your self-talk, your low self-esteem, and you have to move out of this place called doubt, D-O-U-B-T. Today alone, I coach three of my clients on I'm not sure. My biggest problem is. Your biggest problem is your problem because you focus on the problem. You don't focus on results. And I'll say this again. What most people focus on is the problem. They don't focus on the solution. The solution is to create more money. If you have debt, the way out of debt is not taking on a second job because then you can't own a business. The solution to your debt is to create results. You focus on results, not the debt. But most people focus on the debt and don't even understand the debt. They don't even know where their debt came from. They don't understand how they got in debt. They don't understand the debt cycle. They don't have a spreadsheet. They're avoiding the situation. You have to know your numbers. If you don't know your numbers, how are you ever going to break through? You're not. But if you're on this call tonight, there's a reason, because you are developing the psychology of a winner. Winners win because they win. Winners win because they expect to win. Winners win because they're competitive. And winners win because they love to play the game. But if you're sitting there lost in your sauce, overwhelmed, going, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do this, you are correct. Pack it in, Chief. This ain't for you. This is the BL, the big leagues. And for many people, unfortunately, this is the NFL, not for long. But if you want to be a winner rather than a spinner and spinning around overwhelmed, if you want to be a winner, then it takes a different kind of courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion. It takes an edge. It takes some swag. I had a person recently say, I'm really starting to understand your philosophy. When I first met you, I thought you were a dick. I mean, he said this to me. He said, well, understandable. I said, you're entitled to your opinion. He goes, no, now I understand. I go, that edge? I understand that edge. I said, I'm finding my edge. Now, the edge, it doesn't mean you're angry or in someone's face. Your edge means that's your slight edge. That means that you become so skilled that you start to bring your gifts out. You shine off that dust. You polish that edge off. You get that edge so it gives you that slight edge. That slight edge means that you really start to understand your opponent. You start to understand predictability. You know why people do what they do. You can sit right there in the box and say, bring it on. You can hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. You can hit a slider, a curve, a forkball. You can hit a knuckleball. You can hit all the pitches because you've done it so many times that you live in excellence. And that excellence is going to come from the repetition and experience. Focus on the results. Focus on outcome. But most importantly, focus on mastering your emotions and focus on mastering the skills. That's the fundamental foundation, the cornerstone of the process. Very, very few people focus on the skills. They focus on the result, which is good, but you also have to master the skills to create the result. And that means you have to let go of your anxiety about the outcome. That is number one. People are not going to reject you. People are not going to abandon you. People are not going to make fun of you. A lot of what you tell yourself are stories. I'm not sure if I can put myself out there. You can't, because you just spoke into existence that your ass will be on the bench or the bleachers. When you talk like that, you've talked yourself out of opportunity. You've talked yourself out of prosperity. You've talked yourself into being on the bench. You can't win if you don't play. You can only win through the repetition and experience. It's game time action. And you don't role play. You don't sit in Starbucks with some other broken soul from wherever. You have to be able to do it in the game. And you don't role play in front of the mirror. You prospect in game time action. I see so many people waste so much of their most valuable commodity time, and they're not in the game. So you get anchored in your why. Your why is the reason that you want to succeed. And it's not to save the planet or to make a difference. Your why is for you. That's spelled Y-O-U. The shortened version is one word, I. And you're able to do this without feeling selfish, because you have to be self-disciplined. You have to be self-appointed. You have to be self-inspired. And you have to be able to do this without feeling selfish. And it's your responsibility to cover your overhead, your nut, your bottom line, your bills, all of these situations. You have to be able to cover that and create profit. And you don't have to explain this to your family or your relatives or the other broke dicks that you used to associate and hang around with. You have to focus on you. Now, this is contradictory to what you've been told. You're told to focus on other people. When you help enough people get what they want, you automatically get what you want. Well, that was Zig Ziglar. Well, there is merit to that. However, that's not necessarily the facts. I mean, you can go out and empower the planet and be there for people, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be prosperous. Now, you do learn to deliver great service and value, but you also have to be not only service-oriented, you have to be prosperous conscious. You have to be able to create results. Results are going to come from the simple discipline, one day at a time, over and over, mastering your emotions and being able to master your vocation. Now, depending on what your vocation is, if it's real estate, it's imperative that you're able to create listings. If you're a real estate investor, you have to be able to spot the properties that you see that there's value in, that you can turn the table in. Depending on what your niche is in real estate, you have to have a real estate consciousness. You have to understand in the market how you're going to create your prosperity, how you're going to create your profit, how you're going to create a bottom line, how you're going to stay in business. You have to be able to have a vision of the outcome of where the closes are going to come in over the next 11 months. Now, 1 month of this year is AG, already gone, just like the song by the Eagles, she's already gone. Well, it ain't all she wrote because you still got 11 months of the year. Now, if you're already behind on your goals, don't try and make it up in a day or a week. You do it methodically, systematically, inch by inch, it's a cinch, yard by yard, it's hard for most people. For you to have a quantum leap, some greater than whole of parts, that's going to come from the repetition and experience. That means you start to have a why, you develop that why, a reason to succeed. I coached a woman today whose husband's worth $50 million. She's one of the most exceptional clients I've ever had the privilege of coaching, and she definitely has a vision of her why. After our call today, she sent me a $3 million home that she's going to be purchasing. That means she has a vision. And many people say, well, that's easy. She's married to someone rich. That's not exactly the whole story. There's a lot more to it. Her husband unequivocally came up with an idea, and he was not an overnight success. He is self-made. That's why I have so much respect for them, self-made. And for you to be self-made, you have to do that without being selfish or feeling selfish about this process. And for you to be able to be a six-figure income earner, a seven-figure income earner, so you can live a good life, it's going to come, once again, from this, the repetition and the experience, the skills, the habits, and the mindset of your vocation. I'm going to break those three down for you. Then being able to deliver first-class customer service, being able to deliver the value, being able to showcase the value, and then ask for the commitment. Someone said to me tonight, I'd hire you, but how much is your coaching? Now, once again, I'd hire you, but. Now, that's a contradiction. So I said, does the cost matter? And she said, not necessarily. I go, good. Now, I neutralized that by the way I asked the question. I've answered that question in the thousands and thousands of times. How much does it cost? If the value is great enough, does the cost matter? That's a skill and a technique to neutralize an objection before you even answer the question. So the better you get at this, the more relaxed you are on your body, the more repetition and experience, so you can create auto-suggestion. And one of my clients is writing down some of my comebacks on her whiteboard today so that she has a better understanding of what to say and who to be. And it's not always what you say, it's how you say it. Now, that term in winning is called posture. Posture does not mean the way you stand, it's the way you project. It's the way you walk onto the field. You walk onto the field like you've been there before. But if you walk onto the field in anxiety, expecting to get your ass handed to you, then voila, that's exactly what happens. You get your ass handed to you, and you get embarrassed by your opponent. Now, I wanted the Minnesota Vikings to win recently. I love it, an underdog. I love Case Keenum, a guy, an undrafted free agent who starts the season on the bench. Sam Bradford gets injured, and he comes off the bench in the second game. They roll the dice. They win 12 games, go to the playoffs, win their first game in the playoffs. However, they get crushed by the Eagles with the backup quarterback. So David can beat Goliath on any given Saturday, any given Sunday. Well, you don't want to play the role of Goliath. You're not the underdog. You want to play the role of you in a relaxed body being a producer. And being a producer means that you're a winner. And being a winner means you have the psychology of winning and you've mastered your emotions. It means that you expect to win your share of victories. Now, see, that's also, you have to have a realistic expectation of the outcome you seek to create. You can't win them all. But when you encounter the first person who doesn't buy from you and your brain creates a placebo effect so you can feel rejected, that's one and done. I'll say that again. What many people do is they engage in the psychology of winning in doubt. So they want to win. Want to win is the operative term. But they're not certain they can. So they engage in a conversation in doubt. Now they're in a mixed message. And because emotions give off a corresponding response, when you're telegraphing your feelings from anxiety, the main emotions that you're telegraphing is rejection and abandonment, followed quickly by resentment, because you'll resent yourself for not creating a result, because you're not, then you can fulfill the not good enough, I'm disappointed routine. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, you can separate your feelings from the events of being rejected from your past events, then you won't project that energy into your conversations, in your business ventures. You have to practice the rules of engagement. You're able to engage prospective customers, clients, teammates, people in your circle of influence without feeling less than, without feeling anxious, without feeling like you're going to get in trouble, make a mistake, blow it, or any multitude of stories that you tell yourself to avoid the rules of engagement. When you're engaging, you're engageable. When you're able to engage, you're able to ask the questions in a sequence. Now, once you begin to start to understand the basis of what I'm covering tonight on the psychology of winning, what is required of you to be a winner, and you're able to stay in the game long enough to master some of these skills, specifically that how to be competitive, and that also winning is contagious. Now, winning is contagious. It's contagious when you build a winning culture. That means your expectation. You expect to win and create your share of victories. And your share of victories, I mean, whatever your vocation is, there's a certain number of results that should be accrued throughout a week. Now, if you're part-time, spare time, full time, or all the time, then those results are commensurate with your action, your belief, your mindset, and your habits. So let's take a look at the skills of a winner. A winner is consistently exercising their winning attitude. Meaning, so if you were an athlete, it means you'd be in the gym a large percent of the time. You'd be exercising your muscles. You'd be exercising your emotions. You'd be exercising your body. You'd be in top physical shape. There'd be you'd have a body fat counter. Your physique would be lean and stellar. You'd have a routine when you exercise. You wouldn't do it sporadically. You'd be exercising more than likely two or three times a day, because there's always someone who has the edge, who wants to take your position. So you'd be competitive, and you'd be very, very competitive. You'd be proud, and you'd have dignity about task well done. So this would all be part of your mindset, the winning mindset that's so important that you develop. And you expect to create your share of victories. Just like when you go to the restaurant, you expect that parking space to be there. You expect that booth to be available for you. You expect to attract the great waiter, waitress. You expect a great service. But when you reverse that trend and you expect not to have a parking space, you'll drive around the lot and get discouraged. When you walk into the restaurant, they will have blown your reservation and someone didn't write it down, so you can say, see, this happens to me. Instead of having a winning mindset, you have a losing mindset, because I knew this would happen. This always happens to me. A large percent of society has a losing mindset. They expect to lose, and this is why they avoid failing. Because if they avoid failing, then they don't lose, yet they're disappointed. It's the same situation, because emotions have a corresponding response. Now, when you start to develop the mindset of a winner, the number one situation that you start to develop is you are competitive. I am competitive. You compete with yourself, and you don't necessarily compete with people in your company or people around you. That can all happen, but you compete with yourself with, number one, task well done. You compete with yourself about being your best daily. You compete with yourself by being a very skilled listener. You hear what's meant, not said. You, in the conversations, you become very, very skilled at the art of engaging, connecting, communicating, asking, listening, closing, asking for the outcome. You become very skilled at this. This becomes a routine, a habit. It becomes auto-suggestion. Your reflexes change. You don't have the gaps and delays in your communication that you had when you started free enterprise. You're in the now. You're in the know. You're here and you're now. And in your mindset, you're competitive. You're very, very competitive with yourself. Now, being competitive doesn't mean you're critical. And now, when you let go of your critical behavior and being critical of yourself, then you also won't criticize other people. You also won't be disappointed if you don't get instant gratification. You may be able to create instant gratification. It may not happen immediately, but that's why you want to do your best to be your best, not to get discouraged. Success in any endeavor is a long-term process. You're going to start to create your victories one day at a time while you create the compounded effect. You also want to learn to win gracefully and lose as graceful as you want, meaning that if you don't get instant gratification, you're not upset at yourself, you're not blaming someone else, You're not taking it personal, and you don't criticize yourself. You win gracefully, and you lose gracefully. So if you have a victory, you don't have to go out and blast it on Facebook or wherever, although you're entitled to be able to share some of your victories, but you don't gloat over your wins. And if you have a winning attitude and you have a winning mindset, when you have a victory, you don't shut down the next day. What many people do is they have a victory and then they will want to reward themselves with a day off. That creates inconsistent behavior. But if you've been conditioned to behave in a way that you're not emotionally consistent, it will show up in your psychology of winning. You'll have a victory here and there, sporadically, and then you want to take a vacation on your debit card or your credit card. Well, that's not going to get you to the land of promise. You want to be able to create consistent behaviors and habits that lead to the outcome and results. You want to be able to create, your objective is to create results daily. If you closed a sale every single day, look what would happen over the course of a year. Somewhere in there, through the law of large numbers, you're bound to attract someone who can produce or is prosperous. Now, as you start to become better at this science of attraction, you may create less numbers and better results, because you may drop down in your quantity and make up for it in your quality. And the more you understand that, who and what you're seeking, as you start to develop your ideal client, your ideal prospect, your ideal teammate, your ideal employee, the ideal person to refer you business, as you start to create, to attract your reality, people and situations that will fulfill your feelings, you're going to attract other like-minded winners who are ideally as competitive. Now, this next point, this is called winners rise to the occasion. That means that you become resilient. You are here and you are now. And as you start to understand this, you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings. You're able to be right there in the present, and you're able to rise to the occasion. It means you no longer have self-talk that talks you out of your wins. You don't listen to other people, other naysayers, and losers rob you of your opportunities. You don't listen to the emotional and spiritual vampires who tell you to grow up, get real, stop chasing rainbows. Those things don't happen. And you don't listen to these people, and you don't surround yourself with them anymore. You separate yourself from them. And people say, well, what if it's your family? I go, what if it is your family? What if it's your spouse? Well, you have to make a decision about what that actually means. You may be able to stay with your spouse, significant other, whoever they are, but that doesn't mean you have to listen to what they say. You have to be able to separate your feelings from these situations, because you have to focus on winning, not focus on negativity. When you focus on negativity, then your energy drops down to match the other person's energy that you're in. You also have to let go of, I don't want to show someone up. I don't want to make someone else feel bad by my success. These are just stories you tell yourself to overwhelm yourself. You're never going to leave anyone behind. People are going to choose to stay where they stay. And you don't want to hold yourself back so you don't upset someone, because all you're doing is robbing yourself of your opportunity, and you'll stay average rather than be a winner. Winners win because they win. They win gracefully, and they lose as graceful as they win, meaning that it's the same energy. When your skill set, when your mindset and your habits are exceptional, you will create your share of wins. Now, as I cover the mindset of a winner, there's also the skills of a winner. A winner develops the skills over and over through repetition and auto-suggestion. Repetition means that there's a delivery that's done over and over, focused on refining and fine-tuning these skills. And these skills of asking questions, communicating with people, being objective, being observant, watching what people do, understanding people's predictability. You stop asking yourself kindergarten questions like, how do I? You start to move up into the big leagues of life, the major leagues. You start to step up into what's called a professional. You let go of being an amateur. You stop asking yourself kindergarten questions and talking to yourself with a contradictory mindset and a contradictory self-talk. You let go of anxiety, doubt, and fear, and you step into conscious awareness, and it's a be-stay place. You stay there. You don't relapse. There are no more cheat days when you're a winner. Now, once again, you're not going to win every day, but you're going to get your share of wins every day. Now, when you focus on that, when you devote the time, But if you're not going to do this on a spare time effort either. There's a place where it becomes full-time. Now, even in part-time, you can be full-time part-time because of the effort you devote. And it's that concerted effort, that concentrated effort, that focused effort. But you can't be focused when you're overwhelmed. You can't be focused when you're worried, when you're worried about upsetting someone, when you're worried about making a mistake. You can't focus on the skills. The skills will make or break you. And this is where so many people, they gloss over them. They go to seminars, rallies, and conventions, and they listen to this speaker and that speaker, and you get this idea and this idea. And then they go home, they're overwhelmed. They don't have a focus. It's not hocus pocus, you're in focus. I am focused on the outcome. I am focused on the results. I am focused on the money. I'm focused on the teammates. Focus is a focus. It's a narrow focus. But if you have four enterprises and no money, then you're just perpetuating being overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed, you can't win. You'll lose because you'll be disappointed. Being overwhelmed is a recipe for losing because you can't be organized. You're not disciplined. There's no method. There's no system. It relegates you to winging it, and when you wing it, you don't win it. Winging and winning are not spelled the same. Winging is W-I-N-G-I-N-J. Winning is W-I-N-N-I-N-G. If you edify, I'm a winger, because you don't like structure and you don't like rules, then you will be a loser. But when you start to structure your time, you have dedicated blocks of time. You're your employer. You're not taking orders or direction from anyone. You do not require an accountability partner. You require to be accountable. And it's your accountability that's either going to determine your outcome. And if you avoid responsibility because you have anxiety about being accountable, then that's what you'll end up doing. You'll end up avoiding so you can be disappointed. That way you can say, I didn't fail, but I didn't win. You can't win in that attitude. You can only win by winning. Winning is a black and white situation. In a gray world, you're either a winner or you're average. It's your call, baby, because it's all up to you. And if you want to be a winner, then you do what winners do. You pay the price. Now, see, winning is sexy, but what most people don't do is they don't view the prospect sexy. Your ass doesn't sit in a chair and prospect the leads. I coached 13 hours today, closed 2 sales during, after, in between coaching, addressed many, many customer service issues and other situations going on, had lunch, spoke to some of my friends and clients, and enjoyed a good life. That's what you would do. You devote the time to the craft without looking at the clock. But if you look at the clock and go, oh, my God, I'm so exhausted. Well, winners don't talk like that. Winners don't talk about exhaustion. Winners talk about results. Winners talk about production. Winners talk about learning the skills of the vocation. Winners talk about their opponents. They study them. They look for the slight edge. They're looking for that one edge that will allow them to have the advantage. That slight edge and that advantage, you require that. Winners practice diligently. You have to practice. You play and practice. It's the same energy. I've seen many people hold back on practicing. They go, oh, I'm going to save it for Saturday. Right. That's not going to happen. You practice the same every single day. You practice the skills over and over and over. Now, the habits, this is habitual, what you do daily. The habits will also, just like the skills, will make or break you. Habits must be consistent. Habits must be routine. And the habits, just like skills, will make or break you. If you're sporadic, inconsistent, overwhelmed, and are going to get around to it at the last minute, here's what many people do. They don't plan out their day. And so what they do is they go to work, they get home, they eat, they go to the gym, or they go to the gym, and they come home and eat. Then they do schoolwork, they do homework. Then they take the dog for a walk, or the cat for a walk, or the parakeet for the walk, or the alligator for the walk, or the dog collar with no dog in it. Whatever they do, they take a walk, and then all of a sudden it's 8, 9 o'clock, and they go, wow, oh my God, I'm exhausted. And then nothing freaking happened. That's what so many people do. Then all of a sudden Saturday rolls around, they have honeydews to do. Sunday they're exhausted because they got to work on Monday. Nothing happens. I mean, you have to borrow time, leverage time, steal time, beg time. You have to do whatever you do because time is your most valuable commodity. You cannot be successful without devoted time to the skills, habits, and mindset. You can read books all day long, listen to podcasts, downloads. You can do Facebook Lives. You can go. You can put yourself out there, be the man, be the woman. But if you're not creating results, you're wishing. And wishes are not going to get you to the land of promise. Wishes don't win championships. What do is time devoted to the skills. Mindset that becomes the mindset of a winner. Habits that are exceptional. The way you do one situation, you'll duplicate it in many different ways. When you walk through the room, pick up everything you can, walk into the sink and wash it. Don't put it in the sink and wait till the last minute to wash it. Don't wait till it compounds till you're overwhelmed. When your mail comes in, write the checks. Don't stack them in a pile. Do it right now. Do everything you can now, like N-O-W. Throw everything away you can now. Leave as little left of the imagination of getting behind and overwhelmed. Do everything you can, N-O-W. It becomes a habit and routine. Make your bed. Be proud of it. Make it exceptionally. Take pride and dignity the way you make that bed. Wipe situations down. Clean up consistently. Start to live in order. Let go of chaos. Be proud of the way your desk looks. The best way to keep a desk, the best way to organize a desk is to be able to do it and then continue to do it over and over till it's a routine. Anyone can clean up a closet. Anyone can clean off their desk, but it's a be-stay state. You want to be organized. Stay organized. But if you keep getting behind, it's because you're overwhelmed. As you let go of your overwhelmed anxiety about outcomes that haven't happened, you'll win more frequently. You want to understand the law of averages and how to have the law of averages on your side. What does that actually mean? In Major League Baseball, if you bat 300, 3 out of 10, you get a hit in 3 out of 10 at bats, you're going to make somewhere around $10-15 million. Now, if you get a hit once every three times, there's a difference between 3 out of 10 and 1 out of 3. That would be 3 out of 9. The only difference is one at bat. But the difference in money is about $10 million a year in sports. I mean, the law of averages. You want to have a law of averages that's conducive to the outcome and the result that you are seeking. So for me, about 1 out of every 7 people that call for a free coaching session hire me, buy from me. I mean, that's my law of average. So when I speak in a live event, I already know not everyone's going to hire me, but I know that I'm going to get my share of victories. I know that somewhere between 2 to 10, and sometimes more, depending on my performance, the atmosphere, who's in the room, the variables. And so that's also a situation. In the law of averages, you assess the variables. If you're playing in an outdoor sport and the wind's blowing, that's part of the variables. You have to take that into account. If you are calling 10-cent leads, well, you take that into account. A lot of them aren't going to be open, interested. A lot of them aren't going to answer their phone, but that doesn't mean you can't create closes. But if you go, oh, these leads suck, it's no, because you suck. And if you project what you're doing sucks, then it's you that really sucks. But if you also project, like, I'm very anxious about money. Well, money isn't anxious about you. You have to let go of your anxiety so you can create money. Money doesn't have a conscience, but your feelings about money will determine your ability to attract the people you can create it with. But if you're anxious, overwhelmed, worried about what people are going to say, worried about what people are going to think about you, worried about your broke relatives, then you're going to worry yourself out of the opportunity while you get ready to get ready. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your anxiety, then you're in a let-go process. Letting go is also a skill that's also important in the psychology of winning, because you have to have a very short memory. Yesterday's losses, you can't focus on them. Now, you might focus on the skills that weren't created, but you don't hold on to yesterday's losses. And you don't also gloat on yesterday's victory. You focus on victories daily to have the psychology of winning. Now, winners practice diligently. What does that mean? It means they do the same thing over and over, but also refining and fine-tuning what they're doing over and over. You can do the same thing over and over and not create a result if you're not skilled and improving on what you're doing. And winners don't get discouraged easily. Now, that would take most of society out of action. Most of society has instant gratification. They want a victory automatically. I don't blame them. I want victories now. However, if you're unskilled at a vocation and you're unrealistic about the results that you think you should be creating, and then you constantly talk like this, I've been in this business for 2 years, and I'm not where I should be. I should be further along. No statement was ever more false than that one. You're right where you are because it's where your feet are, and you're right where you are because you haven't mastered the skills, habits, and mindset. Now, once again, the habits, being diligent, that is an exceptional quality that is important. I mean, it's like you're there. You show up, but you show up to produce. You don't show up to listen to a podcast. You're not showing up to get trained. You're showing up to produce. There's a big disparity and a big difference between training and production. Training is what educates you. Production is what pays you. And the more you understand the separation between those two, you'll be focused on results. You'll be focused on outcomes that are favorable. You'll be focused on being and staying in a stationary place where you can produce results. Now, there's a difference between being diligent and being distracted. Many people distract themselves with politics, with non-revenue producing activity. They focus on who said and what he said and what she did. They focus on going on vacation more than they should. Now, you deserve a vacation, but you have to master your vocation to go on a vacation, so you're not going on vacation on someone else's money called debt. You want to go on vacation with for-profit dollars from what you've mastered by the psychology of winning and starting to develop a winning mindset. Winners also attract winners. Now, what does that mean? It means in the psychology of winning, there's a law of attraction that you create that's conducive to the law of averages that will allow you to attract your reality, the people and situations that you can prosper, partner, and collaborate with. Now, when you start to come from that type of energy, you're going to have producers and results-oriented people show up more frequently. But when you're overwhelmed and anxious, doubt the process, doubt yourself, you'll attract the same situation over and over to fulfill your feelings, which tends to lead to disappointment. And the last point on the list today on the 13 qualities of a winner is winners win consistently. Now, I started on that on the first point tonight was winning is an attitude, but along with winning being an attitude, winning is consistent. It means that you get a high proportion of victories, that you create those frequently. Now, it may not be daily every day, but if you're in a business that requires sales, branding, and marketing skills, you start to have 2 to 3 conversions a week at least. Sometimes you can – I mean, my best day ever is I closed 26 coaching sales off one phone call. One of my top-tier clients told everyone on a phone call, on a team call, on a Friday morning to hire me. 26 people hired me. I sat down and wrote up order after order after order, several hours worth of phone calls, and it was worth it. 26 sales in one day. That was off one phone call. I've also had exceptional numbers, but most of the time I close one or two sales a day, one or two a day. Now factor what that would look like. That means I've done it so many times that selling has a feel. You have to have the feel for it. You have to have the touch of it. There's a finesse to it, meaning that you're not trying to overpower people and you're not weak. You found the middle ground of it. And you're right here, right now, in a very relaxed body, in relaxed energy. And it's that space called now and the present that also allows you to access the quantum field, the morphogenic energy. You're in a relaxed body in conscious awareness, loving and enjoying what you do. And in that space, there is no mixed message. In that space, you are clear. There's clarity, and you're able to consistently create more victories. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Now, this call will be available on podcast tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A list on Podomatic.com, you can access any of the podcasts that I've created for the last several years. Now, in closing out the content tonight, it's imperative that you start to understand that being a winner is a choice. Being a winner is completely of your volition, meaning that you have the ability to be and stay a winner. You don't become a winner after you've won. You become a winner right now. You start to develop a winning edge, a winning mindset, a winning habit, and you develop winning skills. Now, when you start to put the trifecta together, the habits, the skills, and the mindset, and they start to come together in a law of alignment conducive to creating a compounded effect, then you'll have a quantum leap where the sum is greater than the whole of its parts, meaning plus 2 equals U2 squared or 16. Now, that can and will happen when you learn the skills, habits, and mindset of a winner. When winning is an attitude, when winning is consistent, when you breathe, take deep breaths, and start to become a winner, and you start to understand what is required of you to be and stay a winner. It's a mindset. It's a habit. It's a skill set. As you begin to live in that space, you'll attract your reality frequently, people of like mind, to fulfill the energy that you're now transmuting. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call is officially recorded. 1 week from tonight, I will have my exceptional friend and client, Brittany Cara, on the call. You have an outstanding evening. Chicago, Illinois this Saturday. Orange County, California, and Irvine next Saturday, February 10th. You have a great evening.